Good day to you all. It's an exciting time of the year with the fall holidays coming upon us. People tend to get excited around this time of the year, and they have good reason to be. We are about to celebrate a soon coming event, one of the most joyous events of our Christian lives, and that is the return of Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Bridegroom, and He's going to meet us, the church, His bride. Each of us has an opportunity to be a part of that great wedding feast that is about to occur. So I'd like to begin today by asking the question, what are you doing to prepare for Christ's return? There's probably no better place to begin this discussion than to turn to Matthew 5, verses 1 to 13. It's very familiar scripture, one we often read. It has a lot of really important information in it for us, so let's begin there, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now, there are several important admonitions here that we can learn from. One is that as faithful servants, we are to be prepared, and that preparedness is a daily process. There is a call for readiness in uncertain times, and certainly we are having some of those now, and they've been there throughout history. Matthew 24, verses 44 to 47 says this as well. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. He will make him ruler over all his goods." Now, this is contrasted to what follows in the next few verses, where it talks about, you know, what will happen to the unwise. The warning to the 10 virgins, all of whom are of the same body of believers, the church, is that the future is not unconditionally assured. There are expectations that need to be met, and the wise virgins met some of those. So in reflecting on the parable of the 10 virgins, Louis Granada, a noted theologian as far back as 1555, said that the 5 unwise virgins neglected the precept of humility and became inflated with pride on account of their virginity. Spencer Kimball, another religious leader, has an interesting explanation as to why the 5 wise virgins may not have shared their oil. It was not out of selfishness or unkindness, but he had this to say, and I quote, "The kind of oil that is needed to illuminate the way and light up the darkness is not shareable. How can one share obedience to the principle of tithing, a mind at peace with righteous living, an accumulation of knowledge? How can one share faith or testimony? How can one share attitudes or chastity? Each must attain that kind of oil for himself." End of quote. Now, when we examine the original Greek words for wise and foolish, we see another difference. The Greek word for foolish is mourai, which is, in addition to foolish, can also be interpreted as careless. Now, the Greek word for wise, and I'll spell it, is PHRONJMOI, which interpreted means wise or provident. Provident meaning timely, preparation for future inevitability. The wise take care to make proper provision beforehand in preparation for what would be happening in the future, much like one might do in preparation for a wedding. As in a wedding ceremony, nothing is generally waited and done at the last minute. The wise not only had oil in their lamps, but they had a vessel to replenish their lamps, so they were well prepared for the journey. Now, the bridegroom's delay may be referring to the time of Christ's death to his second coming. Why the bridegroom tarries are interpreted differently by the commentaries. But one thing we can say for sure, and that is God's timing is always perfect. He has perfect reasons for what he chooses to fulfill his purposes, and that includes Christ's return. There are some important lessons that we can learn from examples of the wise virgins trimming their lamps. Now, wise virgins are lamp trimmers because this process prevents the lamp from going out or becoming too dim to find the way. Trimming our lamps day and night is important so that God's presence is always close to us, enlightening our minds and guiding our behavior. Let's turn to Exodus 30, 7 and 8, and see how Aaron attended to the lamps in the tabernacle. We get some interesting clues here as well. Exodus 30, verses 7 and 8. Now, Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps. He shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Now here's what Barnes Notes Commentary has to say about these two verses. The offering of the incense accompanied that of the morning and evening sacrifice. The two forms of offering symbolize the spirit of man reaching after communion with Yahweh, both in act and in utterance. This explanation points to the importance of verbal communication with God through prayer throughout the day, which is often symbolized by the incense as it ascends to God. Now, the Bible Dictionary imagery eloquently puts it this way. Like a tithe, incense indicates one's reverent allegiance and dependence upon God. In all of its sensory vividness, it is indeed an appropriate model for prayer. Now, there are other actions which are important in this lamp trimming process. So let's explore further. Now, the word lamp comes from the word lampus, which is more accurately interpreted as torch. Now, the torch consisted of a flat bowl where olive oil was placed with a wick that hung over one side. Now, the wick was then lit and placed on a pole for carrying. Now, young maids would often carry these torches during a wedding procession. If the journey was long, they would often have a container to carry extra oil with them. Now, trimming the lamp entails two steps: keeping oil in the lamp so that the wick will remain saturated with oil, and trimming the wick to make sure that it was clean and even, because an even and clean wick maximizes the light. Each lamp trimmer was responsible for her individual torch, and every lamp trimmer, working together, produced the optimal amount of light that for everyone to be able to see where they were going as they went to the wedding feast. As Christian lamp trimmers, we need to know how to trim our lamps so that we can successfully see our way to the wedding feast. Now, the other important element of lamp trimming is the wick. A poorly trimmed wick creates a flame that is dim and smoky. By keeping the wick at the ideal length and removing the soot that accumulates, the optimal amount of light is created and the oil is conserved. Now, one way of thinking of the wick is to think of it as the human spirit. If we think about it in this manner, we realize that we need to attend to it morning and night. We are constantly being influenced by the world, and what we accumulate by its influence is a type of soot that we continually need to remove. Anything that we accumulate from the world or from Satan's influence needs to be trimmed and discarded. The Word of God is our trimming instrument. It helps us to identify what needs to be removed from our lives. If we slack off and don't attend to what needs to be removed, our light begins to dim and the oil begins to run low. Diligence is an important aspect of lamp trimming and is defined as careful and persistent work and effort. This is the type of effort that is needed in trimming the wick and working daily of getting our human spirit functioning at its optimal level. Now, there's an interesting scripture found in Zephaniah 1:12 where it states the following: I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent. Definition of complacent is showing smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. Could one of the problems with the five virgins be that they were complacent? We're all familiar with David's words found in Psalms 119:105, where he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Proverbs 6, verse 23 says something very similar, where it says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Our actions are determined what we have internalized and have written on our hearts. It is only through daily trimming of our lamps that we can maintain the amount of oil that is needed to arrive at the wedding ceremony. So, four important lessons that we can take from the parable of the 10 virgins are as follows. Number one, a good and faithful servant will be doing good while his master tarries. Number two, timely preparation for future eventuality is an essential feature of a wise virgin. Number three, trimming our lamps night and day is important so that God's presence is always close to us, enlightening our minds and guiding our behavior. And fourth, trimming our wick daily with the Word of God enables us to remove the soot produced by the world and by Satan. If we follow these important lessons of the five wise virgins, we will be at the wedding feast as a member of the Bride of Christ.